Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, July the 30th, and we have a lot to talk about tonight. Just to give you the rundown of our agenda for tonight, we are going to start with the preview of the Can-Am Pro Series East and West at Iowa Speedway this weekend. We'll follow that up in this first half hour with the ARCA Racing Series. They're racing at Pocono. So we'll talk about both of those events in our first half hour. Starting at 9 o'clock, we'll cover the Camping World Truck Series at Pocono and then the Xfinity Series at Iowa. Then at 9:30, during that half hour, we'll cover the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series at Pocono, and hopefully we'll leave enough time to talk about the hottest news topics leading up to the next race, and there is a lot to talk about there as well. So with that, Jay, joining me is our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, Sharon, how we doing?
I'm doing well. Really looking forward to tonight's show. And I want to get right into the Can-Am Pro. They're racing the Casey's General Store 150 this Friday, July the 28th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. So that means that they will be racing at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The air date for this race is on NBCSN on Thursday, August the 3rd at 7 p.m. Mark your DVRs, I'm sorry, for this race because it's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking about it. The reigning champion is Todd Gilliland. He just won at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And this is going to be really interesting because for the first time, Jay, they can declare points for both the East and the West.
Yeah, in this case, I mean, the story for the weekend is definitely going to be about Todd Gilliland as he's the one doing that and running both series. As you said, he's the defending race winner. So he's definitely going to be one you have to watch, and there's going to be a storyline all weekend. We'll see how that plays out.
Definitely. And he's, what, 11 points ahead in the West, behind, in second place, behind Harrison Burton in the East. So he can certainly close that gap or expand that gap, depending on if it's the East or the West. So definitely keep your eye on Todd Gilliland this weekend. Now, there's a few things. We talked about the point system that they can actually declare for both. One of the 14 previous winners at Iowa Speedway, of the 14 previous winners at Iowa Speedway, five went on to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series careers, with several others moving into other NASCAR National Series. So there's been quite a few drivers who have done that. Drivers including Joey Logano, who won the inaugural event in 2007, Kyle Busch, the 2015 series champion in the Cup Series, won at Iowa 2 years later. Brett Moffitt, Corey LaJoie, Chase Elliott have all Iowa wins. Can-Am Pro Series, from their Can-Am Pro Series careers. In 2012, Elliott held off the future Cup driver, Ryan Blaney, for his victory this track. Other drivers that have raced are Brian Ickler, Cole Custer, Ben Rhodes, Brandon Jones. They've all won races at Iowa before moving into NASCAR, either the Xfinity Series or the Camping World Truck Series. So that's pretty impressive. This is a really, really big race for these Can-Am Pro Series drivers. They're on their biggest stage, I think, here at Iowa Speedway this weekend.
Without a doubt, you know, the Monster Cup Energy Series has the Daytona 500, the Truck Series we talked about. Their marquee event was the Eldora race on dirt. For the Can-Am Pro Series, this has got to be theirs. Having the combo event is just such a huge, huge deal.
It really is. And it's going to be fun to see what these guys can do. Now, if you can't watch it, if you can't wait to find out what happens, you can follow along with the race at Race Central over at NASCAR Home Tracks. But there's another familiar name that's going to be racing in this series this weekend, and he's another two-time Can-Am Pro Series East winner, Ben Kennedy.
That's right, and he'll be driving the number one for Kevin Mannion, who is also a Cup Series crew chief.
And he's also fielded cars in the Whelen Modified Tour as well on a part-time basis.
I was impressed with overall the entry list total for, 34 cars entered for this weekend's race. So, again, this is a huge, huge event for these guys.
Absolutely. Now, Kennedy, as we know, competed full-time in the Camping World Truck Series from 2014 to 16. He's run part-time in the Xfinity Series this season. His best finish was sixth at Loudoun in nine starts. Kennedy isn't the only driver returning to his roots this weekend. There's also Jeff Green, the 2000 Xfinity Series champion and longtime competitor in both that series as well as the Cup Series. He's making his first Can-Am Pro Series start for owner Eric McClure this weekend. And another driver, I think, he missed the season opener, but he's done really well. Michael Self has won twice at Iowa before in 2012 and 2013 as he continues his return campaign in the Pro Series this weekend. He's going to be racing the Sunrise Ford car.
Another one is Will Rogers. He's currently fourth in the West standings with five top fives and six top tens and had a career best finish of second in the most recent California Sonoma Raceway where he picked up the pole and was second only to Kevin Harvick. So that tells you he was running with the best of the best.
He really was. Okay. Also, the points leader in the Can-Am East, we have to talk about him. He's the hottest driver in the series this season. He's the son of the longtime Cup Series driver, Jeff Burton. We're talking about Harrison Burton. He's won four of nine races this season. He's finished outside the top five only once at Berlin earlier this month when he finished sixth. That's very, very impressive. He leads the point standings, as we mentioned earlier, by 14 points over second-place Todd Gilliland. So that's going to be fun to see. There's also the Can-Am West former champion, Chris Eggleston.
Yeah, and Eggleston's in the 99 Napa Filters Toyota. And he's got eight career Can-Am West Series wins with 26 top fives, 30 top tens, and just 39 career starts. So 30 out of 39 starts, he's been in the top 10. And as you mentioned, he's second in the West points, only 11 behind Todd Gilliland. And he was the 2015 series champion in his first full season running for Bill McAnally Racing. And right now, again, he's got three wins, seven top fives, and eight top tens in the eight races so far this year. Being super competitive right there is his teammate Todd Gilliland, just that half step in front of him.
Absolutely. Like Burton, Eggleston has finished outside the top five only once all season when he finished 10th in the most recent race that was at Sonoma Raceway. There's also going to be an international flavor in the Can-Am Pro Series this weekend when you consider the Driver Diversity Program that produced Kyle Larson, who's second in the Cup Series right now. They also produced Daniel Suarez, Darrell Wallace Jr. among others that have come from the Drive for Diversity program. This weekend, Ruben Garcia Jr. is joining Takuma Koga of Japan in Friday's race. Rev Racing teammates also, Colin Cabre and Chase Cabre will be competing, as well as African Americans Jesse Iwuja and Jay Beasley will be in the race, as well as two women, Nicole Behar and Julia Landauer. You can't get much more diverse than that, Jay.
No, and again, this is just an unbelievable event with the two of them coming together like that. A couple different things. You got on the east side, Chase Purdy has had five straight poles versus Todd Gillen on the west has had, let me see if I can find that back. I believe he's had seven of the poles this year. Let me find that and verify it. But so just starting with the pole for the race between the east and the west, that's where it starts.
Exactly. I tell you, there'll be a lot of eyes on Iowa Speedway on Friday for this race. There's a lot of NASCAR Next drivers that come from the Can-Am Pro Series. This is one of the stages where they get that notoriety. When you think about it, the field this weekend is packed with NASCAR Next talent. In addition to current members, Harrison Burton, Chase Cabre, Todd Gilliland, Chase Purdy, our alumni, Nicole Behar, Colin Cabre, Tyler Dipple, Ben Kennedy, Julia Landauer, Jesse Little, Michael Self are all slated to compete this weekend in the Casey's General Tour 150. That's an amazing number of NASCAR Next drivers that are participating in this race. Since the beginning of this NASCAR Next program, it started in 2012, NASCAR Next drivers or alumni have taken all but one of the overall wins at Iowa Speedway. So definitely keep your eye on those NASCAR Next drivers.
Yeah, it sounded there like you were reading off the list of, you know, future Xfinity and Monster Energy Cup champions, because like you said, they all use this as that stepping stone, that first level to get to the next series. And any one of them can move up. And we expect several of them to within a short period of time.
Absolutely. Are there any other drivers that you're keeping your eye on this weekend?
We talked about Ben Kennedy, rookie on the west. Yeah, coming from the west side, sitting third in points.
Yes.
56 points
Derek
behind Krause. Todd Gilliland. Is Derek Krause in the number 19 Carlisle Tools Toyota. Made his series debut at the East in New Smyrna and finished third. He's currently sitting third in the West standings with five top fives and six top tens through the eight races, with a career best second three times, most recently when they raced at Colorado National.
Yes. Another driver you can't take your eyes off of Derek Krause for sure. He's right there third in the series point standing. Ronnie Baffitt Jr. is another driver we may want to keep our eyes on. He sits fourth in the Can-Am East standings. He has one win, six top fives, and six top tens through their nine races. He won the season opener at New Smyrna for his first career win. So that's pretty impressive. He heads into this weekend on the strength of four straight top fives, including back-to-back podium finishes after three straight finishes of 14th or worse dropped him out of the series points lead. He has two top tens, including a best finish of third overall in four career starts at Iowa. So another driver that you may want to make sure you keep your eye on this weekend. Who's your race pick for this weekend?
Oh, man, I would have to pick it between Todd Gilliland or Harrison Burton. And it seems as of late, Todd Gilliland's had that little bit of an edge. I'm going to buck it. I'm going to go with Harrison Burton. I think the East is going to take it.
Oh, okay. I think that's a great pick. I think the East hasn't taken it for a while. I think they want those bragging rights, and I think that's an excellent pick. Another driver that I think you should keep your eye on this weekend, he's won there before. He's going to be racing there. He's won there twice before. I'm picking a driver that you're probably not going to expect me to pick. That is Michael Phelps. I think Michael Phelps is a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He missed the season opener. He's fifth in the series point standings, and I think he's going to make up some ground this weekend with a victory at Iowa Speedway.
Certainly could, and that would be a track to do it on. You know, you've been high on him, and he's definitely showing that he's got the talent. Like you said, he missed the season opener, but it's still fifth in points. So that would definitely be interesting, and he's coming from the west side, so – you got the west side, I got the east side.
Okay, so there's a lot to look forward to with this Can-Am Pro Series race. Again, that race is taking place this Friday, and you'll want to keep your eye on that. They are starting at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Catch all the race action at Race Central at NASCAR Home Tracks. And then set your DVRs for Thursday, August 3rd at 7 p.m. for the air date on NBC Sports Network. Okay, let's move on to the ARCA Racing Series. They're racing at Pocono this weekend. So this will be kind of a big stage for them as well because they're racing there along with the Camping World Truck Series at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They're racing the ModSpace 150 again, Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Pocono Raceway. They will also have coverage. That's going to be broadcast, I believe, on Fox, and you can also follow along at ARCARacing.com. A lot of drivers to keep your eye on for this ModSpace 150, Jay.
Yeah, another one for the ARCA series here. Again, a huge entry list as they have 33, I believe I counted, on their entry list. And as you mentioned, being that it's a combo event there, I believe I saw, yep, in the number 15 Toyota for Bill Venturini will be Noah Gregson. And in the number 41 MDM Motorsports Toyota is going to be Kaz Grala. And I think I saw, yep, there we go, 78 of Mason Mitchell Motorsports has Justin Haley in it. So got a couple of big-timers that have already moved up coming back to race with these guys. And that's to say nothing of the top guys in the series already.
Exactly. I was going to mention Dalton Sargeant next. He's racing in the number 77 car for Cunningham Motorsports. We've had him on our Monday night show 2 weeks in a row. He won back-to-back at Iowa, and then again, where were they last week? I can't remember now. But he won again back-to-back in those races. Dalton Sargeant is certainly going to be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
Yeah, and with that third win now, he's also having three wins is Austin Terrio. The points difference is 130 points. Terrio has the advantage there, slight advantage with 9 top fives and 11 top tens, whereas Dalton Sargeant has 6 top fives and only 10 top tens. But he's definitely been closing that gap.
He certainly has, and I think he wants to continue that trend going into this weekend. Also racing with Venturini Motorsports is Natalie Decker. She's back with them this weekend in the number 25 car. She hails from Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Yep, I remember when she added that one in the I believe the road course of Road America, so I'm super excited about that to see her get out there and run with these guys. Another one that calling it a tune-up for the truck series is Justin Fontaine. He'll be running in the 33 Pro-Matic Automation Toyota this weekend in the ARCA series. Again, he's running in the truck series, but he's making a start here for Kevin Sawinski.
Okay. Another Venturini driver, Zane Smith, in the number 55 car this weekend. Look for him to have a good run at Pocono.
The other Kevin Swinski car I want to mention, I know you've been high on him all year as a rookie, is Gus Dean. He'll be driving the number 32 Agree Cooling Products. And he is sitting fourth in the points at 2460, so he's a little bit further behind. But in his 11 starts, he's got 4 top fives and 9 top tens, so he's only missing 2 top tens there.
Exactly. Another driver in the number 7 car this weekend driving a Chevrolet is Cody Rohrbaugh. Keep your eye on what Cody does this weekend out at Pocono.
I think the only one in the top five that we haven't – I'm sorry, we've got two out of the top five. And that's sitting third in points, Riley Herbst, driving for Joe Gibbs Racing in the NOS Energy Drink UFC Gym, number 18. Again, another one you got to keep your eye on. He's short a race as well. He's only had 10 starts, but he's got one win, four top fives and 6 top tens. And, again, he's a race behind these guys and only – 300 more points behind third place Dalton Sargeant. So,
okay, another driver to keep an eye on is Brett Holmes. He'll be racing for Brett Holmes Racing, and he will be in his traditional car this weekend, which is the – hold on, I just lost it here – the number 23.
Now, the other one, talking about Dalton Sargeant teammate Shane Lee in the Big Time Ford, number 22. And he's the other one in the top five that we hadn't talked about, sitting fifth in points at 2455. Again, has almost identical stats, 4 top fives and 6 top tens in the 11 starts. So the top two have kind of pulled away, but from third all the way down to Zane Smith in seventh, you know, they're only a couple hundred points away, and that's a tight battle there within the ARCA series.
It really is. And if you go a little deeper in the series points, I think you'll find let me look here. I thought he was a little higher than what he is. But Sheldon Creed is also racing this weekend, and I think he's another driver to keep your eye on this weekend. Sheldon's driving the number 28 car this weekend for United Rentals. So keep an eye on Sheldon Creed.
Yeah, it lists him as 17th in points, but there, if you look at his stat line, he's only got 5 starts. He drives off-road racing for Robbie Gordon in the Super Truck, so he's only made 5 starts in the ARCA series, but with that has 2 top fives and 4 top tens. So he's another one that he may not be starting every race.
He's not starting every race, but I tell you what, he usually gets a pretty good result when he's in the event.
That's right, and that's what these guys need to do is when they do have those off starts, you know, I mean, clearly you're only missing 1 top 10 out of 5 starts. That's not too bad an average finish.
No, it's not. And again, this to go back to the series point standings, Austin Terrio leads, and as you pointed out, he's 130 points over Dalton Sargeant, with Riley Herbst in third, Gus Dean fourth, Shane Lee is fifth. Rounding out that top 10 are Brett Holmes, Zane Smith, A.J. Fike. We didn't talk about him. He could be a driver to watch this week, as well as Thomas Prater and Brad Smith. They round out that top 10 in the ARCA Racing Series.
Another one, again, not making as many starts as he used to. He used to run full-time in the number 5, Lucas Oil Racing TV, is Bobby Gerhart. You know, again, he's kind of known for super speedway racing, but Pocono being not a super speedway, but a long track with some, you pick up some great speed. He might be one you have to contend with come checkered flag time.
Right. Now, a driver from Pennsylvania is going to be in the 07 car this weekend. Brian Kaltrider will be riding this weekend. and he's driving for his own race team, so in a Ford. So those local guys like to win in front of their hometown crowds. And another driver like that in the number 96 car from Walnut Port, Pennsylvania, is Kevin Cromer. He's also driving for Brian Kaltrider. So that's two cars, home track cars, I would say, that will be in this event as well.
Another one from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, is Steve Fox in the number 3 XG Industries Universe Towing. Chevy by Wayne Hickson is running this weekend, and he's got 13 career starts there, so he's definitely got experience on that track.
Absolutely. And Don Thompson in the number 0 car with Peterson Motorsports from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, another Pennsylvania driver. So there are quite, what do we count, 4 or 5, I think, well, because Bobby Gerhart is also from Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
So oh, yeah, you're right, he is. Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see if any of those Pennsylvania guys can win on their home state. So this is going to be 115 miles that these guys are going to be racing on Friday. At 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So who do you think is going to be your – let's start with your top three drivers.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, okay, well, if you're a weekly listener, you know I'm a huge Dalton Sargeant fan, but I've not been picking him and he's been winning, so we're going to stay away from him. I'm going to go – I mean, I think he's going to be there. Again, He's starting to chip away at that points lead, but I'm going to go with Zane Smith in that 55 from Bill Venturini, Gus Dean, and then I'll go with Dalton Sargeant, just so he's in the top three.
Okay, those are all great. Those are all great picks, and I'm surprised that you stayed away from the NASCAR guys there in the race this weekend, with Justin Haley being in this event, Chaz Gralla, and Noah Gregson racing this weekend. It's very possible that one of those guys could win. Justin Fontaine is another possibility. Excuse me. For the race winner pick this weekend, I think those are definitely three drivers to watch. But who's your race winner pick for the week?
I think Zane Smith might get his first win.
In the number 55 car for Billy Venturini.
Yep.
Okay, I think that's a great pick. I think the battle is going to continue between Austin Terrio and Dalton Sargeant. I think maybe in this case, Dalton felt pretty good about going back to Pocono and racing. He said it wasn't good to him last year, but they've been on a run. They've learned a lot from last year. But I'm going to say Austin Terrio has the advantage in this one. I'm going to call Austin Terrio in the number 52 Ken Schrader Racing car.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I mean, obviously those two have been at the top all season long. So let me look here. Austin Terrio in two starts has one top five and two top tens, and Dalton Sargeant in three starts has two top fives and three top tens. So definitely going to be competitive between the two of them. That'd be a coin flip there.
It is going to be. It could be either one of them. It really could. And I think that battle is going to continue this week at Pocono. So all good picks. Again, don't forget to tune in this Friday at 4 p.m. Now, let's go ahead and move on to our next race, which is going to be the Camping World Truck Series. They're racing on Saturday, as is the Xfinity Series, but they're going to be at two different tracks. The Camping World Truck Series will be racing at Pocono Raceway in the Overton's 150 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. They've got the coverage starting at the same time on Fox. That's on the normal Fox station. And it'll also be covered on radio, on MRN, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. They're racing 150 miles, a total of 60 laps. And this sounds strange to say, but stage one ends on lap 15, stage two on lap 30, and that final stage ends on the last lap, lap 60. A lot to look forward to in this Camping World Truck Series race.
And like I said, they're coming off one of their marquee events of the year, in which Matt Kraft on the dirt. He's a two-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, capturing his first win at the first career win at the dirt track, and breaking a 27-race winless streak. Who last won at the Camping World Truck Series race at Charlotte Motor Speedway in May of 2016. And that was one of those storylines we've been following all year. Just unbelievable that he hadn't won yet. In his four prior races at Eldora, he had been strong and finished inside the top 10 each time, but had never gotten that win. So he said that he was quoted as saying, "My first dirt win, a lot of fun." It was his 14th career win in the series. And he made the statement that in the second part of the race, we just downright stunk, and it was my fault. We over-tightened a little bit in the first run and got it free and went back to the way they started the race. And I know if you follow or watch that race, him and his father had actually picked up was running a dirt modified. You know, he wanted to, again, you can't give away any race. So they were prepping for this and put in some extra work and effort, and it paid off.
It really did.
In seven truck series starts at the Tricky Triangle of Pocono, Matt Crafton has two top fives and four top tens with an average finish of 11.0. So, and that win secured him back into the playoffs. He was there in points, but the win guarantees him in. So he's going to be looking for that third championship.
That's true. Now, a driver who finished second at Eldora is a Canadian-born driver in the Camping World Truck Series. He's also a Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender. Stuart Friesen had his career night at Eldora Speedway. He won his first pole award to start out the evening and came very close to finishing the night perfectly. He finished second to two-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion Matt Crafton, but he led a race-high 93 laps, and he also won stage two. Both Friesen's finished second and laps led of 93 were career highs for him. He was disappointed that he didn't capture the win, but he was certainly proud of his team. His quote that I think stood out for everybody is, "We didn't come here to run second, that's for damn sure." So he was very disappointed to finish second. It's going to be interesting to see what he does at Pocono. It's a totally different type of track. And as we pointed out, Eldora was on dirt, and obviously that is Friesen's forte. So going back to the asphalt, it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do.
Well, that one there reminded me so much of Kyle Busch. I mean, he dominated that from practice, you know, when they got there, all the way through the race. And, yeah, he was mad when they interviewed him, and he said, you know, second's good, but that's not what we were here for. So I like that kind of fire. He knew that was his race to win.
Yes, indeed.
Another story we've been following all season in the truck series is the Rookie of the Year, talking about Friesen being a Rookie of the Year. The top two, though, Grant Infinger and Chase Briscoe. Still keeping it super, super tight. Going into Pocono through the first 11 races, Briscoe now leads Infinger by 2 points. And they both had top five finishes at Eldora. Briscoe walked away with the 2-point lead, but Infinger won the Sunoco Rookie of the Race award. over the past five races, they've swapped that lead, or the battle between them is swapped back and forth. We've mentioned this at Texas. It was Enfinger at 88, Briscoe at 84. At Gateway Motorsports Park, it was tied when they left. Briscoe 104, Enfinger 104. After Iowa, Enfinger took it back 122-117. After Kentucky, Briscoe took it back. I'm sorry, they tied it up again. Briscoe at 125, Enfinger at 125. And now following Eldora, he pulled it 2 points ahead there at 143-141. So that's a race within a race to keep your eye on.
And, you know, I can't remember a year that has been more fun watching the rookies race for that Rookie of the Year title. It's been a lot of fun to watch that in this Camping World Truck Series with as tight as it has been. The other thing is that we are coming up on a countdown. There are only five races left for this Camping World Truck Series before they start their playoffs. They're heading to Pocono for the Elberton's 150 this weekend, but their Camping World playoff is going to begin at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Christopher Bell right now is at the top with three wins. John Hunter Nemechek has two wins, and then these are the drivers that have wins. Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, and Kaz Grala all have one win. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drivers, which means there are only three playoff spots left for those drivers to get in either on a win or via the points. So those three spots are really up for grabs. There are six drivers on the playoff bubble right now who could use a win to get into the playoffs for this season. Those drivers include Chase Briscoe, Grant Ben Rhodes, Ryan Truex, Noah Grayson, and Austin Cindric. Chase Briscoe is sixth. He's earned one playoff point this season thanks to a stage win, but he has had a really amazing season so far with five top fives, six top tens, and 105 laps led. He also has two pole awards that he's brought home this season. There's also Grant Enfinger from ThorSport Racing, also, as we pointed out, a rookie contender. He's seventh in the Truck Series point standings after 11 races. He has five top fives, he has seven top tens, and he's finished outside the top 16 just once. Ben Rhodes is third on this list. Ben, if it wasn't for bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. He's eighth right now in the Camping World Truck Series. That does not really reflect the racing that he has done. He's really done a good job, but he's had bad luck follow him. He's wrecked in back-to-back races, but prior to that, he had yet to finish outside the top 23. He has led 121 laps this season, and he could really use a W to get into the playoffs this season. Why don't you go ahead and take the next three?
All right. Just make a quick clarification there. When you're talking about those three that you mentioned, that's in the playoff standings. Like Chase Briscoe is actually third in the point standings, but once the playoff starts and they're seeded by,
right,
again, it starts with the wins, Briscoe would be sixth as the first driver without a win. Same with Grant Enfinger.
Right.
He's a little bit higher. He's fifth in the points, but would be seeded seventh as far as the playoffs. So I just wanted to clear that up because when you first read that, I was like, that's not right. But I see that it's the playoff standings.
Yeah,
so
it is. It's the playoff point standings, yeah.
All right. The next one currently sitting right outside that bubble at ninth then in the playoff standings is Ryan Truex. He's looking for any way to get back into that top eight. He's finished top 25 or better in 10 of the 11 races so far this season and has led 47 laps. The rookie we talked about, Noah Gregson, he's also still battling for that Rookie of the Year, but he's run extremely well as of late, looking to carry that right into the playoffs. He's finished top 10 or better in 8 of the last 9 races. leading 61 laps and currently 10th in the overall NASCAR Camping World Truck Series points, but again would be outside the playoffs unless he works his way into the top eight. And the last one is a teammate to Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski racing driver in the Ford, Austin Cindric. And he's making a charge of his own in finishing top 11 or better in five of his last six races. If he keeps this up, he'll be into the top eight there sooner rather than later as well.
Okay, so six drivers to keep your eye on this weekend, all looking to get a win this weekend at Pocono. Now then, there's a little bit of history at Pocono as well when it comes to the Camping World Truck Series. In seven races there have been five different pole winners, the youngest being Eric Jones at 19 years, 2 months, and 2 days back in August of 2015. And the oldest winner is Kevin Harvick. He won in August of 2011. He was 35 years, 7 months, and 30 days. There's been seven different race winners in seven races. So look for another race winner this weekend. The youngest winner at Pocono is William Byron at 18 years, 8 months, and 1 day. He did that in July of 2016. The oldest winner, Kevin Harvick, also in 2011 at 35 years, 7 months, and 30 days. Races won from the pole. There's been three races won from the pole. The last race won from the pole was the number one starting position, William Byron, in July of 2016. Holding the race record at that track is Ryan Blaney at 128.3 mile per hour. And the qualifying record, a lot of you remember Nelson Piquet Jr. at 169.504 miles per hour. He did that in August of 2012. There's a lot of first-timers at the Tricky Triangle this weekend.
That's right. There's going to be nine Sunoco Rookie of the Year contenders making their track debut at Pocono in the Overton's 150. They include Chase Briscoe, Wendell Chavez, Austin Cindric, Cody Coughlin, Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, Kaz Grala, and Justin Haley. Now, again, we mentioned three of them right there, those last three. That might be why they're running that ARCA race, get a little bit of track time there.
Mm-hmm.
So pick up that experience. Other Camping World Truck Series drivers making their track debut at Pocono will be Brian Devatt, Justin Fontaine, Matt Mills, Camden Murphy, Josh Rizzumi, Regan Smith, Ryan Truex, and Cody Ware. And as you mentioned, in the seven Camping World Truck races at Pocono, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup drivers Kyle Larson is the only driver who won his first career Camping World Truck Series pole at Pocono in August 2nd of 2014. And Joey Coulter is the only driver to win his first career Truck Series race at Pocono also that same year of August 4th. That one was in 2012, August 4th of 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also noteworthy in the Camping World Truck Series. Now, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup driver Kyle Busch is running the Overton's 150 this weekend. He'll be in the number 51 Toyota Tundra. He has two Truck Series starts at Pocono Raceway and has finished as a first in 2015 and a second in 2011. Drivers beware, Kyle Busch will be making a charge in his number 51 Toyota this weekend. As far as the owner standings, right now, that's also been a really tight race between GMS Racing, number 21 Chevy, and Kyle Busch Motorsports, number 4 car, and then there's Brad Keselowski's number 29 Ford. So you've got Chevrolet, Toyota, and Ford all represented there. Also, Thor Sport Racing's Toyota number 88, To kind of put that all in perspective, I didn't really do that very well there. GMS Racing leads Kyle Busch Motorsports by 7 points, followed by Brad Keselowski Racing, number 29, who's behind by 47. Thor Sports, number 88, behind by 51 points. And the 98 Toyota Tundra is also behind by 122. Those are the top five in the owner standings. As far as the manufacturer standings, right now through 11 Truck Series races this season, Toyota has a very slim point margin of just 4 points. So they're going to be looking to protect that this weekend, if at all possible. Toyota has 6 Truck Series wins to Toyota's 5. What is it? That's not right. Ford is in third place. I think there's a typo here in our notes. That's yep. not correct. That must be to Chevy.
Chevy has 5.
Toyota has, yeah, Chevy has 5. Ford is in third place in the championship standings. They do not have a win yet in the Camping World Truck Series. So look for them, especially as the season winds down. Ford is not going to let them go winless this season. They'll be looking for a win, and no better place to start than Pocono for Ford.
That's right, and I think it ends there. I think Chase Briscoe gets the win and breaks that for Ford and gets them right back in that manufacturer's championship.
Okay, that's a good pick. And I think, you know, Kyle Busch is in this race. He's been doing really well, especially when it comes to the Camping World Truck Series. He can do really well. But I think we've got to keep an eye on Christopher Bell. I think Christopher Bell, I'm just going to say Christopher Bell is the guy to watch.
I'm sure he'd like to take that
okay.
one over his boss, make his average finish go up from that, 1.5 he has so far.
Yeah, really amazing. Let's go ahead and move on to the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series is going to be racing out at Iowa Speedway this weekend, and there's no other driver any hotter than William Byron right now for Junior Motorsports. He's hoping to come up with a sweep this weekend at Iowa by winning. He won there at Iowa earlier this season, and he'd love to make it a two-time win at Iowa Speedway this weekend. He first broke into the win column for the first time in the Xfinity Series career when he first visited Iowa back in June. Since then, this 19-year-old from Charlotte, North Carolina, has added 2 more wins to his resume at Daytona in July and again at Indianapolis Motor Speedway just last week. These are marquee races that Byron is winning in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. To come back to Iowa with the momentum of a win at Indianapolis is pretty cool. And, you know, Kyle Petty mentioned that he hasn't seen a driver win in everything that he gets in, like William Byron is doing right now, since Jeff Gordon. So it really is amazing what we're seeing William Byron do here in the Xfinity Series. We saw him do it last year in the Camping World Truck Series. He's doing it again now in the Xfinity Series this year.
That's right, and the high praise. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, you know, what you said from Kyle Petty, and overall that high praise isn't surprising. Like you said, what he's done in the Truck Series last year as a rookie, he's doing the same thing now this year as a Rookie of the Year contender in the Xfinity, with 1 pole, 3 wins, 7 top fives, 12 top tens, and the average finish of 9.5. through 18 races. this season. And his ascension into the success is even more in perspective when you look at in 42 NASCAR National Series starts. He has 10 wins, 3 in the Xfinity, and 7 in the Camping World Truck Series, which is a 23.8% winning percentage, which is tied for Greg Biffle, ninth most all wins all time in the first 40 for any driver in the first 42 National Series starts. So that's the top three.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only exceptional on the track, but understands what it takes to get where he is. He said, you got to have great people, get good people around you. He referenced Rudy Fugel, which is his crew chief last year in the Camping World Truck Series, and as well as Dave Ellens, which is his crew chief in the Xfinity Series this year. They've had such a good combination and take what they learn and apply it, and he just improves week in and week out. This will be his second series start, as you mentioned, at Iowa Speedway, winning in his debut, where he started 6th and led 78 laps with a driver rating of 131.2. And if he pulls off the sweep this weekend at Iowa, it'd be one win closer to the series rookie season record for wins, which is 5, held by Greg Biffle in 2001, Carl Edwards in 2005, and Kyle Busch in 2004. Erik Jones only posted 4 in his rookie season last year when he was running for Joe Gibbs. So that's the company he's keeping with right now.
Yeah, it's really been remarkable. Again, the Xfinity Series playoffs are getting closer and closer, and these guys are racing all out. It's the top 12 drivers who make it into the playoffs in the Xfinity Series. So there's just 8 races left to gain a spot in the playoffs this year. The regular season winners in the Xfinity Series this year includes William Byron, who has those 3 victories, Iowa, Daytona, and Indianapolis, and he would hold that number one seed. Byron's junior motorsports teammate, Justin Allgaier, won at Phoenix. Roush Fenway Racing's Ryan Reed had the season-opening victory at Daytona, and are the other 2 title contenders with regular season wins. Earlier this season at Iowa Speedway, Byron won, Allgaier finished 9th, and Reed finished 19th, just to give you an idea of how that would play out. But the top 12 right now, as it is lined up, I just told you the 3 drivers who have wins. That's William Byron, Justin Allgaier, and Ryan Reed. Behind them, points-wise, are Elliott Sadler, Brendan Poole rounding out the top 5. The next 5 are Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Matt Tift, Dakota Armstrong, and Michael Annett. Holding 11th and 12th are Blake Koch and Brendan Gaughan. In 13th place is Ryan Sieg, and he's just 15 points out, while Brendan Gaughan is 15 points to the good. So that's a 30-point swing right there. One race could make the difference there. And if any of those drivers below Ryan Sieg get a win, it bumps. It would more than likely bump Brendan Gaughan out.
That's right. We just saw that happen in the Cup Series with Casey Kane picking up that win. That playoff cutoff line we're talking about can take a huge shift if somebody below them wins, and that's always a possibility.
Absolutely. Like you say, we just saw it happen. But there's some winless playoff contenders, too, the ones that we just kind of spoke about a little bit. But let's kind of move down here, if you will. Let's talk about the stage for a series part-timer.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm moving down the list here because we're just going to run out of time. I was going to say, let's go to Iowa Speedway. It's the perfect stage for a series part-timer.
Oh, okay. with the, there's a couple of them that are doing a part-time. We'll try to take in the checkered flag in Iowa. You got Richard Childress Racing. Brian Scott is returning from a 6-month retirement to make his series debut this year in the number 3 RCR Chevrolet with crew chief Matt Swiderdiski at Iowa. Scott's last Xfinity Series race, start, was at Homestead, Miami in 2015, where he started and finished fourth. And he's made 11 series starts at Iowa, posting 2 top fives, 5 top tens, and an average finish of 12.6. Another one under the Richard Childress Racing banner will be Ben Kennedy. He's going to be doing double duty, as he's also running that K&N Series race. He's the great-grandson of Bill France Sr., grandson to Bill France Jr. He'll be making his 10th start of the season at Iowa this weekend, the 5th for Richard Childress in 2017. He's had 2 career starts at Iowa, posting 1 top 10, an average finish of 15.0. And he started 25th and finished 20th at Iowa earlier this season driving for RCR. And this weekend he'll be again in that number 3 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet with crew chief Randall Burnett.
Under the Joe Gibbs Racing banner, there's Ryan Preece. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago when he was racing. He almost won a few weeks ago. And he's returning back to the series after debuting at New Hampshire a few weeks ago. He started 6th and finished runner-up to Kyle Busch. Preece has 2 series starts at Iowa, driving for Johnny Davis Motorsports, and both have resulted in incidents giving him not the finishes that he wanted. He finished outside the top 30. So Preece will be in the number 20 for Joe Gibbs this weekend. His crew chief is Chris Gabehart, another Joe Gibbs Racing driver, Kyle Benjamin, is also back. He's looking to get a solid finish this weekend as his first 3 starts don't show how much talent this kid really has. He's been running this season with an average starting position of 1.7, but an average finish of 26.3. Benjamin is looking for his first good finish and is hoping that Iowa Speedway will give it to him. Earlier this season, he qualified 2nd at Iowa, but was caught up in an accident that put him 9 laps down and left him with a 31st place finish. Benjamin will be driving the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing. His crew chief is Eric Phillips this weekend.
And those two there for Joe Gibbs are both ones you really want to watch. I think they're going to put on a heck of a show. Team Penske in
so
the number
too.
20. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Ryan Preece does. Team Penske also has one coming back to Iowa. And let me tell you, this could be a race winner here. It's going to be Sam Hornish has his best chance of winning among the series part-timers this weekend. He's made 10 series starts at Iowa, posting 2 wins in 2014 and 2016 with 6 top fives, 7 top tens, and an average finish of 9.4. And as I mentioned, he'll be in the number 22 Team Penske Ford with crew chief Greg Irwin. Chip Ganassi Racing.
Okay, and under Chip Ganassi Racing,
okay, go
there's
ahead.
Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick's made 10 starts this season, posting 1 top 5 and 3 top 10s, driving the number 42. Reddick made his track debut at Iowa earlier this season and was pretty impressive. He drove from a 15th place starting position to a 3rd place finish, his only top 5 finish of this season. He'll be working with crew chief Mike Shiplett again this weekend, and he could be another driver to really keep your eye on.
Without a doubt. And the last one we're going to talk about for Roush Fenway Racing, bringing back the historic number 60, is Ty Majeski. He'll be making his 2nd start of the season for Roush Fenway Racing. Made his series debut at Iowa earlier this year, starting 10th, but unfortunately was caught up in an accident, finished 34th. He'll be working with Seth Barber as the crew chief, and he's another one that the result doesn't show it, but the talent he has, you got to keep your eye on him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time for us to go ahead and make our race winner pick for this weekend. Who's your driver?
Holy cow, let's see. I think I picked a Ford in the truck. I think I'm going to pick a Ford here in the Xfinity as well. I'm going to go with, you're going to be mad at me. I might steal your thunder here, but I'm going to go with Cole Custer to get the breakout win this weekend.
Oh, I think Cole Custer's a great pick. I think it would be great to see him win at Iowa Speedway. But I got to go with Ryan Preece this weekend. He finished second to Kyle Busch. And this weekend, he's not going to have that competition from the Cup Series drivers because they're going to be at Pocono. So I think Ryan Preece goes after that victory this weekend. He's from Iowa, so this is kind of a home track for him, if I remember this correctly. I think we got to go with Ryan Preece.
Yeah, he's definitely, as I said, you know, he finished second to Kyle Busch. You know, this weekend they don't have the Cup stars, but William Byron's setting a pace of his own, so he may still have to battle somebody else. But I think he will be one to keep your eye on.
Yes, indeed. And that would be great for Cole Custer. He's winless right now, and he needs to get that spot in the playoff. Let's move on to our Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They're racing the Overton 400 at Pocono Raceway this Sunday, July 30th, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Coverage starts at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Network and MRN, as well as SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. These guys are going to be racing, guys and gal, are going to be racing 400 miles, 163 laps. Stage 1 ends on lap 50, stage 2 on lap 100, and the final stage will end on the last lap, 160. So another sweep possibility for this weekend.
Oh, sorry about that. I hit the mute button. You're right. We're the Blaney is hoping to find Pocono Victory Lane for the second time this season. It was a month ago he notched his first career win at Pocono. So he'll be looking to return there when they race in the Overton's 400 on Sunday. He'd become the eighth driver to complete the Pocono sweep, joining some big names here. Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 2014, Denny Hamlin in 2006, Jimmy Johnson in 2004, Bobby Labonte in 1999, Tim Richmond in 1986, Bill Elliott in 1985, and Bobby Allison in 1982. And to do it with the Wood Brothers, a historic team, that would be phenomenal. He struggled a little bit since his win, having just two top 10 finishes in the six starts since then. But in addition to his victory, he has three top fives and seven top 10s, with an average finish of 18.8 this season. His eight playoff points rank tied with Kevin Harvick for six in the series. So that win gets him into the playoffs, but they've slowed down there a little bit. They need to get that righted here coming up before the playoffs.
Absolutely. And after Indianapolis, you got to think that Kasey Kahne could be at the beginning of a big streak here. Kasey Kahne snapped a 102 race winless streak by beating out Brad Keselowski on a restart in NASCAR overtime at the Brickyard 400 last week. He's now locked into the playoffs, which is fantastic. He's the first driver, by the way. Well, no, he's not. Jimmy Johnson is locked in as well. I was going to say he's the first driver from Hendrick Motorsports, but Jimmy is locked in there too. That win marked Kane's first top 10 finish since its fifth place showing at Talladega in May. The victory was also the first for his crew chief, Pete Rodden. Kahne became the 13th different winner in the Cup Series this season. So, again, he's locked in. He's going to use that momentum this Sunday at Pocono, where he has some success in the past 27 starts at the Tricky Triangle, Kane claims 2 wins, 5 top 5s, and 9 top 10s. So I would not be surprised to see him come up with a victory this weekend.
That's right. Use that momentum to his advantage, and going into Pocono is a good track to do it. Another one to look for to possibly pull off the same thing as what Kane did would be Dale Earnhardt Jr. Time's running out in his final season here to earn that playoff spot in what's his final full-time Monster Energy Cup Series season. And he's only got 6 races, as we mentioned, left to do that. Pocono might be one of his best remaining tracks to get that playoff berth with a win. In 34 career starts at Pocono, Earnhardt owns 2 victories. As we mentioned, there was a sweep in 2014. 11 top 5s, 15 top 10s, and a 15.1 average finish. And he's finished 5th or better in 6 of the last 8 races there. So if you don't look on the positive side of things, this is where he might be able to turn his season around.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, there's only 6 races left, and we know that the pressure is building for these Cup Series guys to make it into the playoffs. Casey Kane virtually stole one of those spots last week at Indy because he was kind of further down on the point standings. He's now right up there in the mix. These are the drivers that are in if the season were to end today. Martin Truex Jr. with 3 wins, 29 playoff points. Jimmy Johnson with 3 wins and 16 playoff points. Kyle Larson has 2 wins, 13 playoff points. Brad Keselowski, exactly the same, 2 wins and 13 playoff points. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has 2 wins, 10 points. Kevin Harvick, 1 win, 8 playoff points. Ryan Blaney, exactly the same, 1 win, 8 playoff points. Denny Hamlin, 1 win, 7 playoff points. Kurt Busch, 1 win with 5 playoff points. Ryan Newman, 1 and 5. Austin Dillon, 1 and 5. Casey Kane, 1-5. So there's a string there that are all the same. Kyle Busch, 140 points above Clint Bowyer on the cutoff line, has 7 playoff points. Jamie McMurray is down 84 points. Chase Elliott down 73, but he has 2 playoff points. And Matt Kenseth down, I don't mean down. They're actually plus 84, plus 72, and Matt Kenseth is plus 2, plus 51 with 2 playoff points. The first 4 out would be Bowyer, 33 points below Kenseth, Joey Logano, 51 points down with 1 playoff point, Eric Jones, 126 points down, Daniel Suarez, 132 points down, and Trevor Bayne, 180 points down. Those are the guys that need a win. And as we know, Joey Logano has a win, but it's an encumbered win, which means he's on the outside looking in right now. He could be definitely one of the drivers to watch this weekend.
That's right. With this track, as we discussed last week, Pocono, he does have a win there, as does Kenseth Jr. and Chris Buescher. And then the races coming up, you got Watkins Glen, Michigan, Bristol, Darlington, and Rich. Kyle has won at all of those except Pocono. So he's trying for his first win here at Pocono. He's won on 21 of the 23 active Monster Energy Cup Series tracks, different tracks. The only 2 places that he has never visited Victory Lane is Charlotte and Pocono. And that's Sunday's Overton's 400. He's going to try and change that. He's won the Coors Light Pole Award at the Pennsylvania track in June and led 100 of 160 laps on his way to the 9th place finish. In 25 career starts, he's claimed 4 top 5s, 10 top 10s, an average finish of 18.2. He's finished runner-up at Pocono twice, in 2010, June of 2010, and August of 2011. And although he's currently 4th overall in the point standings, 107 points behind leader Martin Truex, he's 2nd in stage wins with 7. He has yet to win this season, win a race yet this season. So he would start seated below those guys with the wins.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Kyle Busch is such a great driver. It's really unfathomable to think that he has not gotten a win this yet.
Well, and
okay,
we talked about
that. Kind of keep... I'm sorry?
We had been talking about it all season of Joe Gibbs not having one, and then Denny Hamlin was the first one to break that with that win in New Hampshire. And, yeah, for Kyle
right.
to not have that one is just doubles that.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Now, something that NASCAR has done before, they're doing again, is the Kids Drive NASCAR. That launched this week, celebrating the next generation of fans with Kids Drive NASCAR. Beginning this weekend and through Michigan, watch for the Kids versus Driver Challenges at accelerationnation.com and be part of the conversation by using the hashtag Kids Drive NASCAR on social media. NASCAR and participating tracks will host children as honorary race officials, green flag waivers, and reporters. In addition to hosting a variety of youth-focused events and activities for families, Pocono will host its 10th annual Lehigh Valley Children's Hospital Kids Day on Saturday. Free activities include face painting, bounce houses, and photo booths. This is a really cool thing that NASCAR is doing to tap into the next generation of NASCAR fans. And again, we put up an article about this today at fanforracing.com if anybody wants to learn more about this. There are some really great deals. And I don't know if you know this, but kids get in free for all Camping World Truck Series races as well as Xfinity Series races. And for the Cup races, they have some really neat special pricing for kids 12 and under at a lot of these tracks. Again, all that information is at fanforracing.com if you want to check that out. It's really a pretty cool campaign that the NASCAR is putting together here.
Yeah, awesome, awesome program. And that's not just giving back to the fans. You know, it helps them. Again, if you bring in spouse and kids to a track, it helps ease the financial burden on that. But developing them, making that interaction. I know one of the things, too, they're doing just for the fans overall when they're talking about shortening race weekends into a one-day or two-day shows, they're still using that third day. This past weekend, they had Friday. They did a bunch of stuff out in the streets on Friday. And the drivers interacted with the fans. I saw Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott both out there. Some really, really cool things that they're doing with the fan interaction on race weekends.
Yes, indeed. And I got to tell you, NASCAR is trying everything they can possibly think of. And if we are fans of the sport, we need to try to support that as much as we possibly can. Now, who's your race winner pick for this weekend? Because I think this is going to be a tough one to pick.
There's a multitude of reasons, but I think Joey Logano, the Team Penske there, showed some speed at Pocono. I know they used to link Pocono and Indianapolis together. It used to be Pocono and then Indy. You run good at one, you run good at the next one. And I think he comes back with a vengeance. You know, he knows that he has that win, but it doesn't count. And right now he's outside. So I think we're going to see that playoff bubble stretch even further. I think Logano gets a second win, one that counts.
Yeah, I think that could be a possibility. There are three drivers, or actually I'm looking here, one, two, three, four drivers who have over 100 driver rating at Pocono Raceway. They include Denny Hamlin at 104.7, Chase Elliott, believe it or not, at 101.9, Jimmy Johnson at 103.9, and the top guy, actually, for driver rating there is Kurt Busch. If we look at wins, the driver who has the most wins at that track, Denny Hamlin. And he's second to Kurt Busch in the driver rating. So he could be definitely a driver to look out for this weekend. He may end up getting his second win this weekend at Pocono with Joe Gibbs Racing starting to turn their program around. And with him already getting a win, that gives him quite a bit of momentum. So I'm going to say Denny Hamlin.
That's right, and we talked about him when we talked about sweeps, and he did his as a rookie, so he definitely could be one to look out for. I know the track, they did a little bit of changing with the track. He said he hasn't kept up with it, but he came out the gate strong on Pocono, which is one of the most different tracks you'll ever find anywhere.
That is the truth. I think we did pretty good leaving ourselves some time to talk about some of the big news. I know one of the big news coming out of Indianapolis is there was a little bit of scuffle between the number 18 crew and the number 78 crew. The number 18, of course, is with Kyle Busch at Joe Gibbs Racing. The number 78 is Martin Truex Jr., under the Toyota banner and also under the Joe Gibbs Racing banner. They were videotaped having some words in the 78 pit box after the race at Indianapolis. As a result of that, Joe Gibbs Racing has suspended two of the crew members of the 78 team for three races. There's been a lot of conversation about whether or not that was justified. A lot of people are wondering why Joe Gibbs is suspending crew members from the 78 team. It turns out that, and I'll read the statement from Furniture Row Racing, their statement, because that will explain it, from Barney Visser in regard to the 78 pit crew. Our number 78 pit crew is hired, trained, and managed by Joe Gibbs Racing, said Barney Visser. They are one of the best pit crews in the circuit and have kept us up front all season. We admire the talent and dedication of our pit crew and support all of the decisions and actions taken by Joe Gibbs Racing. So that's something that a lot of fans may not have known, what are your thoughts about what took place here?
Okay. There's a fine line to walk here. You know, initially when I saw the reports coming out, and again, I had a basic understanding of the contract that they have. You know, I listened to SiriusXM, three different shows throughout the day. I learned more and more about it. You know, initially I was like, that's kind of messed up. But they are Joe Gibbs employees, and whatever they did, he didn't feel was right. And as the company owner, they represent him and his company and his sponsors. I can see where he's coming from. The fact that it's on another team is where it gets tricky, you know. I mean, but I think it was on, I believe, Dave Moody's show. You know, their contract says that they'll provide Furniture Row, the 78 team, with a qualified pit crew. They can replace them. You know, they have the depth at Joe Gibbs Racing. They can replace those two with two fully qualified. They're still upholding their end of the contract or agreement. But I think it's going to have an effect on that 78 team. You know, the team chemistry, you talk about that all the time, especially when it comes to making quick pit stops on pit road. We'll have to see how it plays out. Hopefully it doesn't affect them too bad, because I'd hate to see that. But I understand Joe Gibbs' position. Again, like I said, they're employed by him and represent him, his company, and his sponsors. So I understand it.
Well, and I had the same reaction as you. At first I looked at it and I thought, I don't get what the problem is here. And I think if it had been non-affiliated teams, I think there might not have been an issue with it. But the fact that you've got members of Joe Gibbs Racing teams arguing with one another on pit road, I can see where where Joe Gibbs is coming from and why they made the decision that they made. There's a time and a place to discuss things, and maybe that wasn't the time and the place to do that. And especially with the way that they reacted to another Joe Gibbs Racing team coming over to talk to them, I can see where they would think that maybe a suspension is in order. I don't know if I agree with it being three races that they're going to be suspended. I think one race probably would have been sufficient in this case. But the one thing that does baffle me, and I'm going to just kind of throw this out there, is if you remember earlier this season, a member of Joey Logano's team came over to talk Busch's team. These are two separate teams, and somebody from Joey Logano's from Kyle Busch's team did some punching. So apparently that's okay to punch another team, to throw a punch, but it's not okay for them to argue with each other on pit road. So some of those punches didn't necessarily land, but there were punches thrown. So it just makes you wonder what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah, and I heard some of that feedback, and I had to go back and look at that. I think part of that is, again, of, you know, the alliance. It's another Toyota team. They consider themselves one team.
Right.
You know, there they were infighting.
Sure,
versus...
I get it. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that it just punching versus, you know, it's okay to punch another team,
but not
okay
within
to
your
have
own
words.
Team.
Exactly. Exactly. Because there were no punches thrown with, you know, the scuffle that took place this weekend. There were no punches thrown. And that's where I have the question, is why is it okay to throw a punch, but it's not okay to talk, you know. Well, and I agree with the call by Joe Gibbs Racing, so don't get me wrong. I think they should have done something, because they could have handled that a much different way amongst themselves versus on pit road the way they did. I don't know. I just think that it's not right to throw the punches either.
Like I said, I think he considers, you know, the Furniture Row as an alliance, as another team, a Toyota team. You know, and you go back to he's gone through football teams, the infighting and pointing fingers, whether it be, you know, the blame game, pointing fingers, whatever within your team degrades your own team. If you're standing up and defending yourself against another outside team, I'm with you. I don't know that I necessarily, especially like you said, three races, that seems awful tough. I don't know how their code of conduct policy is written. Again, I don't know if a lot of fans understood that they are technically still Joe Gibbs employees. So that cleared up some of it. But like you said, there's still a question there of the two different incidences.
Well, they're not just Joe Gibbs, technically Joe Gibbs employees. According to Barney Visser, they are hired, trained, and managed by Joe Gibbs Racing. So they are part of the Joe Gibbs Racing team, though they're working at Furniture Row for the 78 team. They're hired, trained, and managed by Joe Gibbs Racing. So it's not a matter of just being an affiliate. In the case of the crew, they're Joe Gibbs Racing, period. Whether they're on the 18 team or the 78 team, that's Joe Gibbs Racing crew. So that part, I think, is real clear. I think again, I'm not going to repeat it, but I just think that there are some questions there as it relates to dealing with someone outside of the Joe Gibbs Racing umbrella and the actions of what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. to me, throwing a punch versus having words, whether it's in your team. I mean, obviously, if somebody had thrown a punch within the team, that would have been even more severe. Maybe that would have been worth 3 race suspensions.
Right.
But not having words. And throwing a punch at another team, I think that should have maybe warranted some kind of suspension on the Joe Gibbs Racing side as well.
Can't argue that. I can't argue that.
So that's the point that I'm trying to make, and I think it's getting lost in trying to make the other point. So, okay, let's talk about some of the silly season changes that have taken place this season so far.
Has there been some new news in the silly season? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's been quite a lot of it. Brian Blaney is going to be moving over as the third car at Team Penske for the 2018 season, leaving his seat open. And it was also announced that taking his seat over there at the Woods Brothers is going to be, and for some reason it's escaping me right now.
Paul Menard,
thank you, is taking that seat over at the Wood Brothers number 21 car. So that was a big announcement. Your thoughts there?
Well, obviously the Ryan Blaney moving to a third team, a Penske team, you know, the Wood Brothers put out a statement that, you know, that was the plan from day one. You know, they're in a and also have an alliance with Penske, and that Penske wanted Blaney to get some seat time. He didn't have that third car yet. He went to the Wood Brothers with the full intention of at some point moving back under the main team of Penske in that third car. So that shouldn't have been a surprise to race fans. We've heard for a while that Menard was probably leaving Richard Childress. Him going to the Wood Brothers, to me, if I say surprising, again, I understand he brings the sponsorship money. I know that the Wood Brothers, only for the last couple of years have they gone back full-time, so need that sponsorship money. With other teams all going towards the youth movement, I'm a little surprised there that the Wood Brothers didn't find another young driver. Bubba Wallace is one I would have liked to see maybe have gone in there. And taking nothing away from Paul Menard, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how certain drivers, I'm not going to say the word there, but can't drive and shouldn't be there. If they've made it to the cup level, they got talent. You know, and we've seen it before. We've seen it before. Sometimes when a sponsor is tied to a driver, they kind of get their pick because they can bring that money to the table. So, I mean, it's good for the Wood Brothers. Like I said, I know I read something that I don't know if they weren't going to be able to go full time next year if they didn't have that extra money. So I want to see them there. So for that aspect, it's a good thing. And I hope Paul Menard does do good there and keeps what they've been building. Cause they've been with them returning to full time, they've been building all the way and finally got that win with Ryan Blaney. So hopefully that continues. Like I said, it's a good thing that it's keeping them full-time in the sport.
Absolutely. And there are other possibilities for Darrell Wallace Jr. The statement from Chairman and CEO Richard Childress regarding Paul Menard and Menards, Inc. Paul Menard and Menards, Inc. have had a partnership with RCR for 7 years. Together, we've enjoyed a tremendous amount of success, including Paul's emotional win in Indianapolis in 2011. He's a very talented driver and a good friend. Everyone at RCR wishes both Paul and Menard nothing but the best in the future. Now, here's the part that I want everybody to take note of. Our entire RCR organization is 100% focused on getting all three of our Monster Energy Cup Series programs in the playoffs this year and bringing another cup championship to RCR in 2017. We will be announcing our plans for a third cup team and our overall 2018 team lineup at a later date. That implies that there could be a fourth car or maybe some other changes. Now, there's a possibility that Ty could be coming back to the, under the Richard Childress umbrella. But there could be an opening there for Darryl Wallace Jr. as well. Something to speculate on anyway.
That's right. There's still a couple of seats, the 77 Furniture Row team at this point is still open, whether or not it can maintain and stay next year. But that's an open spot, the RCR spot. And then you got a couple that haven't been announced that they're open and we don't know yet. I know the talk of whether or not Casey Kane's going to be able to keep that number five seat for next year. Danica Patrick's name has come up. I believe I saw something on Twitter that Matt Kenseth met with an unidentified representative at Stuart Haas on Monday.
Okay. So, yeah, lots of different possibilities are certainly in the works for people to keep their eyes on. And there's a lot of changes taking place within this organization. There's still within the Cup Series is what I'm trying to say. It does, Jayski's does announcing too that Childress does plan on three teams in 2018. So I probably read a little bit into what he was saying there, but I thought he kind of left the door open for a fourth team there in that statement.
And either way, as you mentioned, if Ty is the one that moves over to that third team, that would open up that 13. So that's still a seat that's open, whether it be with Richard Childress in the whatever number it becomes, the third team there. I don't know if that number would stay the same. But if Ty is the one that moves over, which that's another one where we expect of that was a short-term deal with Germain Racing in that number 13, that the intent was for Ty to eventually move under the Richard Childress banner. So yeah, they'll be looking for somebody to fill that seat when that move eventually happens.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Once one domino falls, there's a bunch of other dominoes. Alex Bowman, of course, we announced already, is going to be replacing Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the number 88. But we also found out that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to the NBC Sports Network booth for next season in 2018. So that was pretty good news this week.
Yep, I think that was an excellent move on NBC's part. And I'm hearing more and more, no official details of all his roles, but that it's not just with NBC NASCAR, it's under the NBC Universal. I've heard he may do some coverage for the Olympics. You know, if he does football, I'm sure he's going to want it in his contract that he gets to cover the Redskins, but he may also be doing some football coverage.
Absolutely, and definitely going to be a lot of fun to see him working at NBC next season. I'm trying to find, it's so hard to find anything anymore over at Jayski's. We're so used to what they've had before.
Yeah, you're not gonna suck me into that conversation. We've had that one privately.
It's just a matter of time for us to get all accustomed to the new layout here. But I'll tell you what, it is that there's just so much happening right now within the sport. What other news do you want to make sure we mention before we sign off? I know we're into overtime already.
I think we covered pretty much all the highlights. As far as the silly season, I still think, I know I hear a lot of talk about possible retirement, but I don't see it happening for Matt Kenseth. I think he ends up somewhere. And he's still the biggest one, domino, if you will, to fall. And I think once that one happens, I think a lot of these others are going to fall pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's certainly been talk about whether or not Danica Patrick is coming back in the 2018 season. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens if she does, if she is out at Stewart Haas Racing. I wonder if there is a place for her beyond that with the results that she's had. She's had a few, you know, impressive results, and I still think that she's accomplished more than any other woman within the NASCAR ranks, and especially at the top tier in the Cup Series. She really needs to make something more happen if she wants to keep that seat, I think.
Or get another one, as you said, and it has been three consecutive top 15 finishes. There again, unfortunately, when you get on social media, a lot of it is fans that just want to bash and focus on the negative. But yeah, it's been
right.
Three consecutive top 15s for her. And again, I definitely think over the years she's been there, you know, maybe should have moved up a little more, whatever the reason. But again, she's got a tremendous amount of talent, and I think she is good for NASCAR. So I'd hate to see her get pushed out of the sport.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, I wasn't trying to be negative there on her. I just know, you know, some of what's been said. And Stewart Haas Racing has been a big advocate for Danica Patrick. So there's a possibility that nothing will happen there. There's also been talk about Kasey Kahne. But Kasey Kahne has a win now. So, you know, that may not be an issue anymore. You know, it's a matter of time, and all of these puzzle pieces will fit into place as we get into the 2018 season. But it's sure a lot of fun to kind of speculate in these cases as well. So
that's right. I mean, it's one of those that you start thinking about it, and we all have what we'd like to see and what we think should happen, but. Again, a lot of it comes down to those dollar signs.
It certainly does. Now, Jay, I know that we had a couple of articles for you recently. What's the next article coming in the pipeline for you?
Well, again, now with the Richard Childress one moving, and I'll give you a target time of Tuesday, I believe, over what I got over the next couple of days. I should have one to you on Tuesday. Focusing on Richard Childress, what they need to do to come back to being one of the top powerhouse teams.
Okay. Again, you know, when they're not ready to make those announcements just yet, but I'm sure that this 2018 season is certainly part of that puzzle for them. Okay, so... we have gone overtime here by about 8 minutes, but I want to just let you, Jay, know that I really appreciate all of your efforts here on our Thursday night weekend preview show. Definitely looking forward to the next article coming our way from Jay, MJ Huseman. And I really enjoyed our preview here for tonight, and I'm really looking forward to the racing this weekend.
That's right. As we mentioned, there's some big racing. Again, that Can-Am Pro Series East and West, marquee event. You don't want to miss that one. The ARCA Racing, again, big names in that one. Should be another great event. And all around, a good. We got all six series racing this weekend. So good weekend of racing.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely, like I say, I'm looking forward to not only watching the racing this weekend, but also talking about it next Monday night on our Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk review of Pocono and Iowa. And then, of course, you and I will be right back here next Thursday night for our next NASCAR weekend preview. Both of those start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio as part of our Fan for Racing radio network. So thanks again, and big thanks to all of our listeners. We really appreciate each and every one of you, and hope you'll come back and listen to us again. Take care, and have a great race weekend. Good night, everyone.